Michigan is in the grips of a fourth wave of COVID-19. About 84% of the state's ICU beds are full, and the Pentagon will deploy a third emergency medical team to help in local hospitals.
Meanwhile, other states in the Midwest and the Northeast are also seeing cases spike as cold weather sets in and people move indoors. And those infections, they're from the Delta variant, not the little understood Omicron strain, which has just recently been found in the United States. Dr. Angela Rasmussen is a virologist at the University of Saskatchewan. Dr. Rasmussen, welcome back.
Thanks for having me, Peter.
Let's start with Omicron. The variant has now surfaced in several states, and that list is surely going to grow by the end of the day. Do you have any sense yet of how widespread it may be at this point?
I don't have a good sense of how widespread it is, and in part, this is because still the majority of cases in the U.S. are being caused by Delta. The big question for me, though, is how many cases of Omicron are here, how long have they been spreading, and how many of them are caused by community transmission and not are associated with travel. Yesterday, we got our first indication that community transmission is occurring here. And really, the million-dollar question is, will it displace Delta?
We're starting to learn some information from South Africa. There's a study out that shows that a prior COVID-19 infection doesn't actually seem to offer immunity from Omicron. And we have to say, this study has not been peer-reviewed yet. It has not been published in a scientific journal. It's still so early. But what do you make of that, that a previous infection may not provide immunity against it?
So on one hand, this is obviously very concerning. But on the other, it's also not very surprising. We know that Omicron contains a number of mutations in parts of the spike protein that are absolutely critical for antibody neutralization. That is really important in terms of preventing so-called breakthrough infections or reinfections. It really isn't very surprising that a virus with this many mutations in that key part of the spike protein would be able to circumvent existing immunity. The real question, though, is how will vaccines perform against it? Because reinfections can occur, and they have occurred in the past, but infection-acquired immunity is much more variable than vaccine-acquired immunity. That's one of the reasons why we encourage people to get vaccines, because we reliably know what kind of immune protection people will have after vaccination compared to after an infection, which can really vary a lot. And that, to me, is my biggest question. Will Omicron be able to circumvent vaccine-induced immune responses as easily? And furthermore, for both of these situations, for reinfection or breakthrough infection after vaccination, will Omicron be able to cause severe disease? If Omicron does cause more severe disease, that's going to be a real problem.
Okay, Delta, by the way, is, as we said, the variant that's causing the most trouble in the United States right now. Do you think we're taking our eye off the ball on that front because we're so concerned about Omicron?
I do. You know, and this has happened with every new emerging variant of concern, is that people tend to focus on this new, less known variant where there's many uncertainties and ignore the existing variant that's already causing huge problems. So right now, throughout the U.S. and including in Michigan, the Delta variant is still reigning supreme. And we know a lot about the Delta variant at this point. We know that it is more transmissible. We also know, though, how we can prevent it or how we can at least reduce our risks of contracting it. One of those is vaccination, and it is becoming more and more apparent that getting a booster shot will improve your chances of not getting infected with the Delta variant after vaccination. And we need to be taking other measures on top of vaccination. So that includes wearing masks, practicing good hand hygiene, using rapid tests if you can access them, because the more of these that you stack on top of each other, the lower your risk of contracting Delta is going to be. And that really is going to take a lot of the pressure off of the healthcare systems in places like Michigan that are seeing these huge surges.
Are you satisfied with the president's new measures that he announced yesterday to the nation?
I'm not satisfied, particularly with the rapid testing. I think that it is a really bad idea to put a further barrier between people and easily accessing these rapid tests, which can be a very powerful tool. Asking people to get reimbursed by their insurance companies is a good way to ensure that a lot of people aren't going to be able to access those tests. They may not.
In other words,
able
just make them free. Don't go through insurance.
Exactly. Just make them free. We need people to be rapid testing regularly when they're going to be in any of these situations that pose a risk for transmission.
Dr. Angela Rasmussen, a virologist at the Vaccine and Infectious Disease Organization at the University of Saskatchewan. Dr. Rasmussen, thank you so much.
Thank you, Peter.